From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 389, Windows 10, with guest Mark Manassi. Recorded Friday, October 3rd, 2014. Run As Radio is produced each week by PWOP Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. And my guest today is the usual troublemaker, actually. Mr. Manassi is back, a man who needs no introduction and has been off gallivanting around the world. Are you home?
I am indeed home. For someone made a horrible mistake, and I am indeed home for like 2 whole weeks.
Wow.
Where I am, October is the best month of the year, but I'm never here because October is conference month, but a couple things fell through. And so I have some time here, and I'm, you know, and it's a good time too, because who knew that we were going to get a preview of Windows 9/10? And
do you have any comments on why they called it 10 instead of 9?
I have not one, not two, but 5 reasons why. Should you want to start with those?
Yeah, let's do the 5 reasons why.
Reason number one is, it is 9, but they've chosen to use base 9, which would have to be written as 1.0. No, but before you laugh, you may not know this. Many people have never noticed this about me, but there's a genetic thing in my family called syndactyly. And I actually only have 9 fingers. So I'm the left hand, and most folks. And really, when I was a kid, that was what I wanted. Well, Daddy, why do we have to keep counting? There's no other fingers. And so this is my Windows, I think, maybe, you know. So Windows 10 is one possible. And the other one is, you have to think about the international nature of the sales. In the German market, it'd be Windows 9. They're not going to buy it, you know. There's an actual theory running around. Someone who claims to be, in quotes, a Microsoft developer, pointed to some code in like some Java ITSI file or something like this, where it basically says, if you ask for the version of the Windows and it comes back as Windows 9 anything, it's bad.
Right.
Now, I don't believe this. No. I mean, that's the official line, and people have been tweeting it at me for a while. I'm like, it's complete. First of all, who cares if Java doesn't run?
Yeah.
And second, you've had Chris Jackson on the show, right?
Sure.
Yeah. AppCompat guy. He's the man. I follow all of his stuff, and there's so many things baked into Windows that handle compatibility stuff on the fly. Come on, that would be a piece of cake. So I'm tossing that one out, but I had to throw it out because that's the bourgeois that's going through the internet. Now, I think the fourth possibility, and this is the second most likely. I'm going to tell you I cracked the code. That's the fifth one. But I think they didn't come up with Windows 9 because it will so much distract Gartner and those guys that they won't notice that their start menu still doesn't have folders for Metro applications. That's it. But you know, I was thinking about it, and I don't know if you know this, but I spent much of my younger life, got my degrees and my first 4 years as a, you know, someone making money, doing mathematical modeling and data analysis.
Right.
And I looked at it and I said, you know what? I think there's something going on here. We've been assuming that the Windows versions grow arithmetically by 1
right.
every time. But Windows grows faster than that. It's expanding. What if it were growing geometrically? So I fitted a curve, and I found that if you start from Windows 5.1, which was XP, you go to 6, and then 7, 8, and then 10, right? Because Vista was 6. You could fit a curve there. If you start from 5.1 and increase it by 17% every time, you'll get some kind of real number, but that would be scary. So you round it to the nearest integer.
Right.
And if you look at my Twitter feed, I have the actual spreadsheet where I figured this out. And what happens is it slowly grows to the point where the 8 value is like 8.49 or something like that. And the 9 value is actually 9.53 or something like that. So All they're doing is that Windows grows geometrically. It does not grow arithmetically. And I believe that that has to be the best answer.
Okay.
I got to tell you, though, that as an operating system geek, It was a big week.
Yeah, but, no kidding.
But, let me tell you the greatest disappointment. And I'm sad to have to say this because I'm not getting paid by Microsoft and I love my iPad. iOS 8.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know, I think the thing is that 8, depending on how you spell it, is of course a past participle for to eat. Because one could argue that Windows 8, iOS 8 does eat. It's horrible. I mean, because first of all, I installed it on my iPad and I expected great new cool things. Open up. It looks like the same. It's like, what's going on? So I went to the Apple Pages. I'm not making this up. The Apple Pages said, first of all, it's the biggest iOS release ever. I said, great. Tell me why. They said, well, photos, you can keep track and you can make them look better. I'm like, really? So you took some of the code you have left over from folding Aperture and you stuck it in the iOS? You can now add talk to a text. I thought the point of texting was doesn't take much space, low bandwidth. And if you want to talk, there's this other thing you could do. It's called like FaceTime or you know what? It's on an iPhone and I think those things are supposed to make, wait for it, phone calls.
And now you're just talking crazy talk.
Here's the big thing. Shortcuts to people I talk to a lot.
Huh. Now,
you've had a Windows phone longer than I have.
But yes.
My recollection is that Windows 7, and I know for a fact Windows 8 and 8.1 on the phone, I got shortcuts for all kinds of stuff.
Everything,
yeah. Shortcuts for addresses and everything. And it really works, too. I mean, that whole fast and fluid stuff that they promised us for Windows 8 has really always worked on Windows Phone. I mean, I realize I'm talking to an empty room because, you know, we probably have all five Windows Phone owners listening to this broadcast.
Both guys have got one. Love it.
It really is awesome. It really is awesome. There's a few things that I'm, we should do a run as on this because I think you and I have owned a million kinds of phones.
Yes.
And, I think there are people that if they knew more about Windows Phone that they'd be buying it. Although, you know, who knows?
I've come to appreciate that most people don't actually pick what phone to buy. They're told what phone to buy by the guy selling them a phone.
Really?
Yeah. Regular mortals just, they go in and buy these things from the carrier store, and the carrier store, that guy is spiffed. He's paid to sell a particular phone. And that's, he one way or the other, he's got his script to direct you to that phone. And that phone is almost invariably an Android phone.
Well, you know, there's something nice about an Android phone. I have an Android, I have a really wonderful Android tablet.
Mm-hmm.
It's the little Yoga, the Lenovo Yoga.
Yeah.
And it gets about like 1,000 hours of battery life. It claims 15, but I had it on my trip to the Balkans when nothing else had power. I at least had Kindle and, it was way more than 15 hours.
Wow.
I mean, just, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, seriously. Cause when I first got into the first place, Venice, they had these, I think the power outlets were actually installed by Galvani, themselves. And just like, it couldn't get juice. And it's also one of those European things where when you leave the room, you don't get electric power anymore, which makes no sense to me. But because I was thinking I'm in Venice for a day, I should sit inside while all my stuff recharges. But, had really terrific battery life. And at the same time, what was fantastic about it is I plugged the USB thing in, and here's a crazy idea. I had complete access to the file system. You don't see that in Microsoft phones. You don't see that in Apple phones. So it was interesting to see that stuff. But in any case, they also claim the smartest keyboard ever. So when you type a phrase, it reckons that it knows that phrase for you.
Right.
That hasn't been my experience. Have you played with iOS 8 yet?
I have not. I'm pretty much Apple technology free.
Oh, really? You don't have an iPad?
I do not have an iPad.
So what's your tablet?
I have a couple of different Acers and several Surfi, but I'm mostly an Ultrabook guy, you know, like my go-to machine is an Ultrabook.
No, come on. I'm saying you're on the airplane and you want to read or you want to watch a movie or something. You're not going to whip out your laptop.
I generally whip up my Kindle when I want to read because I like the Paperwhite. I like that display.
That is nice.
But I have a Samsung 9, man. It's the same size as a MacBook Air, which is the same size as an iPad. Yeah, that's what I pull out. It stands itself up.
all right. Well, that'll be another run-ass, Richard. But anyway. Anyway, ever since, what is it, T9 that Motorola had a billion years ago,
yeah,
because you're working on this little keyboard, it tries to guess what you're trying to say.
Yes.
And but it does phrases now. And so what was funny was the XKCD guy took like, I don't know, six well-known movie phrases, you know, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore, Toto, stuff like that.
Right.
And just, you know, typed it enough until it completed it. It's like, it's about a week or two ago. It's easy to find on the XKCD site.
Randall Monroe is a genius.
It's absolutely true. It is absolutely true. I had a Randall Monroe moment when I figured out, I was sitting there like 5 o'clock in the morning yesterday on Twitter, and I thought it would be fun to just come up with five reasons, the ones I gave you. So I just came up with those as I was typing. And when the fifth one came around, I've actually discovered the answer. And I have a wonderful proof of it, but unfortunately, there's no space in 140 characters. and people are tweeting, what are you talking about? And this one guy tweeted, Manasseh's Last Theorem. I'm like, finally, someone caught the Fermat reference. I said, there's days I feel like the XKCD guy. No, not the XKCD guy. Feels like most of the time.
Yes.
So, the one thing they have that iOS has now that we don't is family sharing. So the idea is, and I don't know how it works, but the idea is if I bought an app, and your dad, then you get the app too, or you know, yep, stuff like that. So, you know, it's like the AT&T long distance plan. But it's
a family plan idea, for licensing.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that given that no one's buying Metro apps anyway, it would be interesting if when you did get a Metro app, then your relatives and your close friends or something like that would get that. Which, I don't know. It would be... But anyway, and here's the big thing. Ready for this? They have a cloud drive. And the cool thing about this cloud drive, it's awesome. When you have a file on your computer,
yeah,
it's on their cloud and it's on your phone and it's on your tablet. That is an awesome idea. It's like Microsoft should copy that. That would be just a terrific idea. If something like that.
What a concept.
Yeah, you know, I mean, up in the cloud, you know, it's around the cloud. You know, there's in any given day, there is more sky than there is cloud, so yes. I'd call it SkyDrive or something like that.
Who would call it that? That's strange.
That would be actually, you know, pretty amazing. You know? So have you hacked around with Windows 10?
I know you're not busy. I've been
this
on
is
the road.
How busy? I know. It's like isn't that awful? Is that driving you crazy?
What do we need to know beyond the start menu is back? Isn't that everything that is in Windows 10?
I beg your pardon, sir. A lot of people have worked very hard to turn out what is basically a sneak preview. It's actually Windows 8.2.
Okay.
It's got, but having said that, I mean, here's the most important thing. Most important thing is there is an end to this two desktops separate but unequal. Some apps live in the ghetto and some apps get to live in the sunlight. there's been an end to what I've been calling apartheid. It's all one desktop. You couldn't get to the start screen if you wanted to. That's not true. There's a thing you can check on the properties page in the taskbar.
Right.
But it all blends pretty well. I mean, and for a first shot, it's extremely well. There is the stuff that people are going to have trouble getting over because once you put a modern app, a Metro app, onto the desktop, you're thinking you want to do cutting and pasting. And as you know, you can't do that because all the Metro apps live in their sandbox and they're very secure. And this is a good thing. I mean, it means that we're going to be able to build applications once people get around to using Windows tablet stuff, if they ever do, is that they can feel more confident that these things are not going to be getting out of their box and destroying the system. Clipboard's a scary way to be able to do that. And so not being able to cut and paste is going to be a little bit of, you know, people are going to have to get used to that stuff, you know.
Well, and you bring up a real salient point, too. I mean, that's odd that that's not there. But this is a preview. You're not supposed to make your main machine Win 10.
You know what? Never mind. I was going to say something I'm not allowed to say out loud. Okay, so let me just say that at the risk of losing my MVP-ness, that didn't come out as well when I said it as when in my head, but in any case.
It's an old gag, man. We've all been there.
This is going to be, this upgrade path is going to be easier. I'm not saying make your main machine Windows 10, but I am saying that I think that if you do, you won't be sorry.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
Cut and paste.
No. I mean, you still got cut and paste between desktop apps.
Right.
You never had cut and paste between desktop apps and modern apps.
Right.
You know, the Metro apps. So you haven't lost anything, you know?
Right.
Another kind of cool thing they're doing is multiple desktops. And Android's had this for a while. The OS X has had this for a while. That's another thing, too. I was waiting for them to come out with a Windows 10 and use the X. That would have been kind of cool. You know, because like Windows X would have been sort of neat, but they're using the 1.0.
Well, they are so far. The marketing team hasn't really kicked in yet. It's just to get a little conflict with Apple over there in their OS X.
Well, you know, I really don't think Apple gets to trademark Roman numerals. I think the Romans were around before, you know, Apple.
Are you claiming prior art? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm saying that as long as those bastards are going to be selling music when they promised the Beatles they wouldn't do it, I'll never forgive them for that. Can you imagine what that conversation must have been like? Is that here's this guy going to build these home computers and call them Apples, and the guys running the Beatles record company says, wait a minute, you're going to mess with our trademark. And everybody's like, who's going to not know that Apple is Beatles record company?
Yeah, don't
be
silly.
There would never be a world where they would know this little computer company better. It's like, now if you were to find a 12-year-old, be like, you ever bought something from Apple Records? No, it's not Apple Records, it's iTunes.
Hey, I got to pay the bills here. Run As Radio is brought to you by ScriptRock, the makers of Guardrail and the fighters of Configuration Drift. Configuration Drift happens in every environment, from 5 nodes to 5,000. Guardrail will find and scan configurations of every node in your environment, no matter what the platform, and alerts you to changes happening across machines. Give it a try for 3 months free with the coupon code RUNASRADIO, all one word, or at scriptrock.com/RUNASRADIO.
So anyway, there's been this notion of multiple virtual desktops,
right,
that you can have. And it's funny that people say, oh, Microsoft's stealing the Apple idea. You may recall that in the resource kit, maybe even before that, I remember with Windows 95, and certainly with early NT, there was a thing you could run where you could have multiple desktops running at the same time, and you just flip from one to the other. The whole point was like to save you space, whatever. So there's a thing that does that now. And what they're thinking is you kind of put your play on one desktop and your work on another desktop, which would be kind of cool. I mean, they're not going to do this, but if you think about it, wouldn't it be neat? Well, you know, when you're working from home, there are days, which we do, there are days that it's hard to get stuff done because there are distractions. If I had a computer that only had work on it, you know, then I could probably get more done. And I know there's some third-party apps that will simulate that, but it would be interesting if I could put all of my fun stuff, Twitter and Facebook and games, on one desktop, and then just like put Word and whatever else I need, you know, Excel, virtual machines and something like that, on another desktop, and then kind of lock it down. You can't do that, but maybe they should be doing it.
Remember, well, I've been doing that for years just by having multiple computers.
Yeah, I used to do that, but I just don't have as much space, and I hate having to keep track of a lot of machines.
Right.
Because the more machines you have, the higher percentage of machines you have that are not working at any point in time or need to be upgraded or, you know, all that sort of nonsense. But so the idea of the multiple desktops is kind of cool. And I think the other thing to remember, which I really applaud Microsoft for, is, and I don't do this often, is here it is. We're looking at, we've got a pretty decent preview, and it's 12 months out. They say they're going to be releasing it latter part of 2016. You and I know what that means. That means that they've got to have the thing, general availability October 20th, and they'll do a release to manufacturing the third week in August and stuff like that. And so, you know, we're getting a fair amount of advance notice. We are getting an interesting set of features. As the first outing, we're not going to have really much time to talk about server, but I do just want to briefly say, for those who are wondering, that if you haven't looked at the server technical preview yet, it is all about the cloud. I mean, seriously, everything that is in the server stuff if you're not going to go to Microsoft's Azure cloud, they want you to build your own cloud and they want you to use their stuff. And so I think we're seeing things backported from Azure into, that's the plan, right? Into this, the server preview. And just very, very quickly, a few things. One is lots of cool Hyper-V stuff. Number one, easier to upgrade clusters. If you've got a Hyper-V cluster right now, everything has to be the same version of the operating system for obvious reasons. Well, now you don't have to do that. Kind of like with Active Directory domain controllers, you can now have mixed modes, which is wonderful. Snapshots go into production, which is very nice. The deal has always been, don't use snapshots on a production machine. They've now got some workarounds where it might well be being delivered. A small thing, but an important one, the Hyper-V manager. So if you're remotely connecting to a Hyper-V server, then it's been using the old RPC, MMC stuff, you know, WMI. It's now using WinRM, which is great because that's the basis of PowerShell remoting. I imagine that it means that the PowerShell commandlets for Hyper-V are going to get better. I don't know that for a fact. That's just speculation. We now get Defender on server, which is kind of nice. I mean, because, you know, I think a lot of people wonder if they should spend a tremendous amount of money on antivirus, anti-malware on a server. I mean, why put anti-malware stuff on a domain controller? Well, now it's, right. You know, now it's free. And then the one other thing I wanted to mention that's worth looking at is storage spaces, which is their answer to a SAN. When I talk to people about this, I normally say, I've said it here on this program with you, is that storage spaces, I mean, lower your expectations in some ways. I would say something like storage spaces gives you 70% of what a SAN gives you for 15 or 20% of the cost.
Right.
And inevitably people say, yeah, but there's single points of failure. Where's the LUN replication? We now have LUN replication. You can now build a separate storage space in a different country and you can just have the block level synchronization back and forth. So it's built atop SMB3, which, as you know, has turned out to be, I think they did a great job with it. It's just a lot of.
It's so good you hardly think about it.
It's true. It's absolutely true. And the goodies that you're getting without even looking for them.
Yeah.
You and I were talking offline beforehand about talking with Alan Sugano about data center stuff. I mean, when you look at data center kinds of stuff, the idea of using SMB for data center stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Would have been a little goofy, right? But now it's just absolutely fantastic, you know.
It just sort of works, you know, it works so well. The demo they did where you just add more cables, start connecting more routes and things speed up. I've done this by accident, you know, that
it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
No, you're right. If anything, when I get a big whack of machines and I start building one of these things, sometimes my troubleshooting problem is which of these wires are we actually using?
Yeah.
I need special cables that turn different colors when they're running storage communication through them or whatever. And, you know, another nice thing, of course, which doesn't really come with the product, but it will end up furthering a good thing about the product is PowerShell 5. The PowerShell 5 stuff is in there, and that's just some great news as well, you know.
Well, and there's a whole show to be done about the new version of PowerShell.
Oh god,
it feels like it's moved so quickly.
It's the desired state stuff is nice. I mean, but honestly, I'll get shot for this. Honestly, the desired state is a cooler version of group policies for servers. And I'm sorry, but
Snover's going to find you, man.
I actually said that to him and he said, yeah, it's not bad. He'd had a couple of drinks. So, for all I know, you know, no. I mean, it's logical. It's built on top of a good highway. The fact that most of this stuff is WinRM, et cetera. There's, I hate to say it, but it's tied better to a world where you have a choice of Active Directory or not Active Directory.
Right.
I'm sad to see the end of Active Directory, but it feels like it's definitely seeing its final days, you know.
But they're not actually saying that yet, and I feel like they need to. The idea that we'd have a substantial infrastructure without Active Directory is just an interesting idea. Is it going to be replaced? Is it just going to work completely differently? Like, I find this baffling because I'm with you. I feel like AD isn't being cared for now. You know, they have to neglect the technology before they're going to move on from it.
Well, I think they've already said the thing you want them to say, because what kind of Active Directory is there in the cloud?
Right.
There's Azure Active Directory, which is, there's an interesting thing that I was waiting for that I did not see. And again, let's be very clear. You and I are talking early October.
Yep.
A year before the release. This could change.
Without a doubt, it could change completely.
But yeah, but this is a big feature that I think they would have talked about earlier. So I hope I'm wrong. So let's say we've got a small organization. Or maybe it's a virtual organization. You know, you and I work together, but sometimes, or something like that. It would be fantastic if I could take my machine and join it not to an on-premises Active Directory. Because if you've got two people in an organization, somebody working out of their house, they may not have an AD because they don't have enough machines to make it worthwhile.
Right.
They have an AD if they want to build their own Exchange server. And if that's the case, I can recommend a good therapist, you know? Mm-hmm. So, be great if I could take, because I've got Office 365. I mostly got it for the email, but it's got some other nice goodies. I have a virtual organization. The people I work with are hundreds or thousands of miles away. Be great if I could join my machine to my Office 365 Active Directory. And that's A. I don't need group policies. I could live without them. Some kind of minor group policies would be nice. Something Intune-ish or something like that. And the other thing is I should be able to join more than one domain. Because it would be nice if, I don't know, you and I decide to do a roadshow. Well, we're not going to build a new domain for it.
Right.
And
it's a temporary adjoining.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the sort of thing where, like, I need to be able to futz with your calendar, and you need to be able to futz with my calendar for a few weeks or something like that.
Right.
And if we had one of these temporary joins, then we could set that kind of stuff up. And the funny thing is, you know, it's so obvious. Because so many organizations, I think I'm making this up, but I'd be willing to bet that the number of five or smaller person organizations as a percentage of organizations is much higher now than it was 20 years ago.
Yes.
Just because computers make all this crap easier. Excuse me, not computers. The internet makes all this crap easier.
Right.
And why not ride that wave? And the answer always is that Microsoft sees small businesses as an annoying afterthought, but you know, Office 365 is apparently very successful. It'd be nice if they added those capabilities.
Well, and you see all these things are sort of moving simultaneously, right? I was looking at Sway, the new another Office 365 offer, and just this, they're building more collaborative tools and so forth, all focused on their cloud offering, which I think it speaks to what they're actually doing internally too.
So, what does Sway do for our listeners like me who haven't looked at it yet?
You know, it's I almost look at it like Flipboard for Office, right? Just this idea that it could bring those bits together and make it easier for you to sort of create a good visualization. It might even be a replacement for PowerPoint in the end.
Well, PowerPoint could certainly use a replacement.
Well, is it just me? I mean, looking at what's happening over on the Windows team and over at the Azure team, and even inside of the dev div as a whole, you know, when I throw my .NET Rocks hat on there, all of Microsoft seems to be moving rapidly, except Office.
Well, Office has always, well, marched to a different drummer. whenever something comes out and there's a rule in order to get, remember back in the old days, there used to be a Windows logo. I don't know if it's still there. I don't know if anyone cares, but you know, in 1998, 2000, 2006 or whatever, if you wanted your app to have the Windows logo, it had to do certain stuff, had to be able to install with an MSI, you know, all five applications that did that. And, you know, you had to save files to My Documents and or whatever else. Office never did any of that stuff.
Right.
They're always like the last guys to adopt it. And they had the logo anyway for some odd reason.
Well, I mean, once upon a time, you go back to the 1990s like that, there was a new version of Office to go with a new version of Windows, and they all had sort of a common look and feel. And then sometime after that, the developers, DevDiv would provide you with tools as a developer so you could make your app look like Outlook too.
Right. Until, what was it, Office? Was it Office?
2007. Ribbon.
The Ribbon, yeah. Once the Ribbon came in.
Yes.
That was when
all of that got blown up.
Things started to diverge. Yeah, I knew that things were beginning to come apart when Notepad got the Ribbon. That was a sad day.
Yeah.
There's some interesting news, though. One point on server that sort of, I always say, Microsoft never gives up on anything.
Yeah.
But NAP, Network Access Protection, according to a Microsoft web page, I'm not revealing anything NDA, I checked this is all on the web, has been officially deprecated.
Having never really taken off. We did a few run-as on it eons ago, And everything about it seemed like a good idea. But did anybody actually adopt it?
Well, I think part of it had the direct access problem.
Right.
Direct access is awesome. And then they come out with these surfaces and, oh, you can't do that with direct access. Really? I can't? It says Microsoft on the logo. Can I get my Macs in there? Yeah, there's some guys who do something like that, but we're not really supporting it. And so pretty much direct access is only going to work if you've got Enterprise Windows 7 or Enterprise Windows 8. And, you know, have a nice day. And it's, the features of it are cool enough that I know people who have actually built direct access. But I did a talk in Sweden a couple of four times like last week, and we'll be doing it again in Barcelona about modern apps. It's modern apps for IT pros. And basically the idea is, now that our good friend Dr. Rusinovich is slacking off and talking only about clouds, he doesn't do those wonderful... Yeah, you heard me, Rusinovich.
Nice.
But he used to do those wonderful internals talks. Now he does some great Azure internals talks, and they're a tremendous amount of fun. But again, believing that Microsoft never really gives up on anything, I thought, you know, we're going to be dealing with modern apps at some point, whether we want it or not. And the problem is, if you Google that stuff, heck, if you Bing that stuff, mm-hmm. you get 99% developer stuff.
Right.
And so I'm just developer-y enough that I can understand that stuff. And so I thought, if I could take that information and spin it from an IT pro point of view, and even go so far as to show them how to build their own modern app using Project Sienna, which I'm sure you've looked at.
Yes.
Then, you know, they understand it better. And when the boss does say, hey, okay, it's Windows 18. We've decided to go to modern apps. Then they'll have this PowerPoint, you know, ready for them. And so as a part of doing this talk, then I'll say, hi, I'm Mark and you guys know me. And so let me ask, how many of you have deployed modern applications? And I wait for a half a second and I say, I didn't think so. Because it doesn't matter how big the room is. I got one guy like in Malmo who said, oh, yeah. I had a client that needed me to deploy a modern application. Okay. You're the first one.
Yeah. You're the guy.
That's right. You're the guy. It is fun to talk in Europe because the Microsoft salespeople in Europe are often better than the ones in the States or Canada. And because like if I say I've got this awesome Windows phone. One of the things I say is the reason I'm learning modern apps is that I want to build some phone apps just for fun. And since you can build these universal applications, I want to learn how to do this stuff. How many of you got a Windows phone? I usually get, you know, crickets. Are those crickets? But I was in one town. I forget which one it was, but it was like 20% of the room had Windows phones.
Wow.
Absolutely stunning. Yeah. I said, how many of you have rolled out Windows 8.1 expecting to get nobody at all? Like 15, 20%. So I think for some reason, perhaps those Europeans, they're just used to authoritarian regime and they're used to just taking orders or something. Perhaps it's socialism. They all want to do this at the same time. I can't explain why this would be, but, they are quicker adopters of some of that stuff.
For some of that stuff, for sure. They definitely go at things a little differently from the rest of us. Mark, we've blown up another half hour just like that.
Oh, well.
Well,
you've done it again.
You've done it again. And just when I feel like we're getting into a kind of a funky groove here, too. But I'm definitely going to be keeping a close eye on Win 10, the consumer edition, as well as the new server bits, because without a doubt, our world continues to shift underneath us.
Well, I think the interesting thing is that one of the stories that didn't get a lot of play mm-hmm. was, if you recall, at the Build conference, then Satya said, I think it was Satya introduced the idea of universal apps. And to me, with all due respect to our new leader, it's a little disingenuous. Mm-hmm. When I see a universal app, it's one of those JavaScript HTML5 things, which is essentially a glorified web page.
Right.
But I get the impression with this next generation of universal. So like in April, we heard this is universal. And in September, we heard, no, these are really universal because now it's got Xbox and stuff like that. And see, there's another number thing. How do we go from 360 to 1? Does that mean that it's circular math and the next version will be 2 and 3 until we get back to 359? I don't know. So the theory is you'll be able to build this stuff. Now, I haven't seen the tools, but it would be really exciting to... Because, you know, there's kind of two kinds of apps, right?
Yep.
One is, if you look at an iPad or you look at any kind of tablet, two kinds of apps. They're all basically Yelp or Angry Birds. And by that, what I mean is, it's either, oh, look, I'm trying to go to the LinkedIn site, and the LinkedIn site says, wouldn't you rather use our app? No, if I wanted to use your app, I would have gotten your app. And that, you know, these things are essentially glorified. Browsers, they need connectivity or they're useless, and they're pretty lightweight. And then there's the other ones, those standalone apps, the Kindle app, the Angry Birds, stuff that runs offline and things like that. If there's a way, and again, I don't know the answer to this yet, but if there's a way to build true universal apps, you know, universal Angry Birds, right? But I'm saying, to have one thing that runs on everything, that would be pretty awesome. So anyway, but we are running over time. It is always a pleasure to talk with you, sir. And I hope to run into you at some thing, Dev Intersection, Barcelona, MVP Summit, one of those places.
One of those, maybe all of those things.
Indeed, indeed.
Mark Manassi, thanks so much for coming on the show.
And remember to use this knowledge for good and not for evil.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.